Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic words seasoned just right to flavor your taste buds.
The words are the new Viagra that keeps you up, tantalizing your soul into submission. Sensual and sexy as her poetry acts and answers questions you are scared to approach. Who is she? She is LSO, an erotic poet.
Hey. I know my cousin is probably on the other line. What I tell you about singing? I'm about to get down with the get down, so I'm going to sing. Anyway, welcome to the LSO Treat Show. Happy Monday evening to you. This is the last Monday of February. This year is about to zoom right on by, so y'all better get with the getting. Get ready for an amazing 2 hours. In this 2 hours, we going straight. No breaks, no nothing, unless we need to drink water, and we probably going to drink that while we're talking. Mm-hmm. That's what we doing this evening. I hope your day started with a smile and will end with a bigger smile after hanging out with LSO and our special guest. You know, LSO is the founder and owner of Treats and Things LLC and LSO Exclamation Points. I am an HBCU undergrad and a Master Summa Cum Laude grad, and that's just some of the backbone of my educational hashtag my LSO journey. Brooklyn's very own LSO is not just an author of 3 self-published erotic books and 1 inspirational book. There's so much more to LSO and her brand. Let's not forget, she is the host of the Lawless Radio LSO Treats Show. Hot damn, yes, that is I. The erotica introduces you to the truth. The inspirational holds you accountable. And then, you know, there's writing, advising, spoken word artists, and acting. That's some of the things that keep me grounded to hashtag love yourself organically. LSO's writings, creative diversity captures you and introduces you to the outside the box experiences, encouraging you the freedom of reflection of self, accepting self in totality and in abundance, creating the space for your imagination's truth and seeing beyond the space to be your true self. Her writing captures you, and her no judgment encourages your total liberty of being yourself. Her work is created with the intent to help you to relate and or reminisce in your fantasy, truth, or a combination of both. Either way you care to enjoy, it's all up to you. LSO ignites your alter ego to surrender to enjoy the known and the unknown. All your senses captivated, and you're loving it. In her work, she's in total control. In her space, her imagination encourages your truth, the escape to pleasures beyond your imagination. LSO vows to keep her creative juices flowing so that you can experience the displays of her words written and or spoken. So come along for the ride, pun intended. LSO never disappoints and promises limitless possibilities. Are you ready for tonight's show? If not, get ready. Tonight's topic is living financially stable, your relationship to credit. Note, these are our personal and or research opinions, so call in with your confession or research, your questions, whatever. Remember, the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show is a safe space and a no-judgment zone where your confessions and research are welcome. Transparency at its best. Tonight, we have a special guest. And every time he come on, I always call him a special guest. Tonight, he's going to get us financially in order. We're going to ask business questions. We're going to ask personal questions. And he's going to direct us in the way that we should go. Now, it's all up to you. The information is going to be given. So it's up to you how you take it. So I'm telling you now, while I'm doing his introduction, go get your notepad and get your pen, get your stickies, get your highlight, get it ready, because he's going to drop some jewels. And unless you want to listen to the whole show over, which we don't mind, but you can take your notes. I am honored, and yes, I'm saying honored, to introduce to some and to introduce to others He is no stranger to the LSO Treat Show. Y'all know him as Kevin Lewis, the CEO and principal consultant of Promethean Credit Counseling, which is a full-service credit counseling service focusing on personal and business credit. But I know him as Kevin Maurice. And when I call him Kevin Maurice, that means we about to get down to business. It's serious. And we've come a long way where I can call him that, but you can't. To him, he's Kevin Lewis. The company specializes in helping disadvantaged individuals understand both personal and business credit and how to leverage them for financial liberty. Promethean is much more than a credit repair agency. The emphasis is on counseling. Get it, y'all? Counseling. And their team works diligently to provide their clients customized solutions that address their credit challenges. So that means what he gives me is not what he's going to give you. Why? Because our credit circumstances are different. So therefore, it's customized to everyone individually. Kevin receives his bachelor's of science degree in marketing from Virginia State University, our alma mater, VSU. Yes, Hell State. Yes. And his master's in business administration and global management from the University of Phoenix, and is pursuing a doctorate in accounting from the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton Business School. He is also a certified credit counseling specialist. His passion is to help communities, not just me and you, the whole entire community, understand and overcome the obstacles that are causing the wealth disparities in the United States. To that end, he works tirelessly to ensure that his clients reach the level of success they work so diligently to achieve. Kevin is not only a friend to me, but he's my HBCU alumni sibling. VSU made us family. We've come a long way. I introduce to you Kevin Maurice. Kev,
hey.
What going on, baby?
Yo.
How art thou?
Yo, big things.
Big things to come.
Big things. Just your introductions, I need to put you on my marketing team. Your introductions are amazing. I really can't thank you enough, but VSU built this. You know, life
yes.
carved this. We cut, but VSU built this, so
sure
I'm just happy to be on it. Yeah, so, Chuck, it's just a pleasure to be on as usual. I always come to talk about money because the people who say money is not everything just haven't lived in America long enough. It's not everything.
It's a major thing.
It's something. So my job
in
is...
In some form of fashion.
So my job is to come on and just talk to the people and help them understand money better and really to help change people's money mentality. That's the only way you're going to get to real wealth is to change your money mentality. So it's a pleasure to be here, you guys. It's an amazing platform. It's always a privilege and an honor to come and serve. And I'm here anytime you call, as usual. You shine the light, and I'm on. So.
You know, and I want y'all to know he's wholeheartedly telling the truth because I was like, Kev, you know you got to come on every year. And I like to get him on around tax time because a lot of people mm-hmm. think, you know, they get their taxes, they're getting this refund.
Mm.
This refund is a one-shot deal. This refund is not every 2 weeks paycheck or every week paycheck or you won't see this money like this again. The next time you may see money like that again, will be next year when you do your taxes, and people, you know, get caught up in this little one-shot deal, and they get themselves into debt instead of using it to climb out of debt. So what we're going to try to do tonight is try to get those who are in debt out of debt, those who need credit, how to get credit, and the best way of going about getting credit, and any and all of the financials, whatever, that we can possibly do. Kevin is here tonight with us, and he's going to tell us everything we need to know. So if you have questions, drop the questions, drop the questions in the chat. Excuse me, I'm sorry, not the chat. Drop the questions on Facebook, Instagram, if you have my number, which everyone should, it's out there. You can text me and ask the question, or if you want to come on, you're more than welcome to come on and ask Kevin your questions as, you know, as they come along. So we're just going to jump right into it. And this is going to be commercial free unless he feels he needs a break. We'll play some music. If not, we're going to talk for 2 hours. He's going to drop jewels for 2 hours. Okay.
Again, no, I'm ready to go. I'm built.
You ready? Okay. Well, he
I'm
said
built.
He ready. He said he ready.
I'm built.
He said, well, again, the topic is living financially stable, your relationship to credit. Now, Kev, explain that. Your relationship to credit. Explain that a little bit, because some people look at credit as being a good thing, and some people look at credit as being a bad thing. How do you explain a relationship to credit?
So credit, your relationship is credit mentality. It's your money mentality. You've got to know what your money mentality is. I talk about this every time I come on. I talk about money mentality, and it's the way that you feel about money, the way that you feel about credit, and those things need to change because, for many of us, those things need to change because if you change your mentality, you can take advantage of many of the things that credit brings. I just want to talk to you guys about we're much more than credit. I know you introduced me as credit. That's my specialty. I specialize in both business and personal credit, but we also do real estate-based lending, and we do taxes as well. So I know a little bit about most of those things. So let's talk about where you started the conversation when you said you like to bring me on during tax season and how that relates to credit and your money mentality. So what everybody has to know about tax refunds is if you get a refund, that means you overpaid the federal and state government. If you get a federal refund, you overpaid the federal government, and if you get a state refund, you overpaid the state government. That means during the year, you paid money out of your pocket, and you overpaid money out of your pocket. Now, two things about that. Change your money mentality. If you change your money mentality and stop looking at that as a gift, it's not a gift to you. Your tax refund is not a gift from the federal government. It is what the federal government owes you because you paid too much money. So I would say if you get a tax refund, you need to go adjust your taxes so that you can use that money during the year. And what I mean by that is let's say you got $10,000 in a tax refund. Now, I know most people aren't getting taxed $10,000, but let's just, in a dream, you get $10,000 in a tax refund. If you took your $10,000 and paid down, you've got a credit card that you have a $10,000 outstanding balance on. If you took that $10,000 and paid during the year, you put that $10,000 towards your outstanding balance on your credit card, you're going to save about $6,000 to $7,000 in interest. Because most of us, stay with me on this, most of us are just paying the minimum or just above the minimum. That $10,000, if you're paying the minimum on a $10,000 credit card, with most of the interest rates being around 17-18% on average, you're paying about $6,000 to $7,000 extra dollars just paying the minimum. And here's the deal. Doc, I know these people out here not taking their tax refunds and paying off those debts. I know what you're doing.
No.
Struggle through the year. What they doing? We struggle through the whole year, right?
They're flaunting. You know they want to go out and buy a Tesla. I think they're giving away Teslas. I think they're just giving away to everybody. They're going to go and buy a Tesla, or they're going to buy something that they can't afford on a monthly basis.
You said it perfectly. You're going to go put yourself in more debt, right? You've been driving that car. You've been driving that car. That car is 7 years old. You finally got a tax refund that's $4,000, $5,000. You said, you know what, I got the down payment. Let me go get this Tesla. And now you are spending more money than you make every year. You still have those outstanding credit card debts, and now you're ducking the debt collectors. When you could have taken that money during the year, changed your tax, so you change your tax status so that that's aligned correctly. Now during the year, you pay twice as much as the minimum on each one of those credit cards and save yourself about $3,000 to $4,000, maybe $5,000 worth of interest. And now you can still go get that Tesla, but you can now afford to buy that Tesla because you pay down high interest debt. The Tesla, you might get a 6%, 7% interest rate on the Tesla, but and you can get a tax rebate on that. But on your credit card, you're paying 17, 18, 19. Some of you guys are paying 24% interest on those cards. So what I'm saying to you, Chuck, is simply this. Go back to your employer. If you got a refund this year, first things first, I implore you, go pay off those high-interest credit cards as much as you possibly can. But after you pay those off with your tax refund, go to your employer, change your tax status, so that you don't get a refund next year. You don't want to owe money, but you don't want to get a refund next year. You want to apply that money to your high-interest credit card. Am I talking to somebody out there, Chalk, or should I just...
You're talking because I did that before. I changed my paperwork for my taxes. I was like, I want all of my money because if I die today or tomorrow, at least I can say I got my money and I spent my money. It's not guaranteed that I'm going to live to the end of the year to even get taxes back or pay taxes. But 1 year I did that, and the amount of money that I owed back had a comma and a lot of zeros afterwards. So I was like, okay, well, let me switch it up to see which way is best for me, where I can get the most of my money up front now. And not have to owe when it comes tax time. So now I'm in a comfortable position with what I'm getting up front and okay with what I'm getting at the end. The key for me is to not owe, period, at all. Owe nobody nothing. So I've worked my taxes out, my exemptions and dependents and all that. I worked all of that out to where I'm good.
So the thing about great job. So let's commend, let me take a minute to commend you. The thing about this is every year you guys are going to a tax accountant to prepare your taxes. Use the tax accountant. The tax accountant, you prepared my taxes. What should I change my tax status to so that next year I'm not getting this $4,500 to $5,000, that I'm only getting $500 back? The tax accountant will tell you, change this to this, change your dependent, change your tax status. Instead of claiming zero here, claim one, or instead of claiming one here, claim zero. Whatever the case, the tax account is going to tell you. They should, even if you're going to the tax prep houses, Jackson Hewitt, H&R Block, you're using TurboTax, My Tax Prep, whatever you're using, you can ask the tax accountant, what should I change my tax status to so that I am getting the minimum amount of refund, so that I'm not paying, I don't want to owe, but I also don't want to get a large refund.
And then you have to be committed, though, whatever you're – take that amount. So you take – if we do $6,000, I'll do easy numbers. If you got a tax refund of $6,000, that means you paid $500 per month extra. So this year you're going to save that $500 a month and put that $500 on your high-interest credit cards so that at the end of the year you don't have to worry about overpaying in interest. Yeah, you good on that, y'all?
I'm good on that. A message came in and said, that's because you're an accountant. Yes and no in reference to me being an accountant. There's a difference with being an accountant and preparing taxes. Now, I used to prepare some years ago. Every year, I volunteered my services to prepare people's taxes. You know, part of my community service that I wanted to give back to the community because it was a free service. But I hated the fact that the law changes every year, and because the law changes every year, you have to change as well to make sure you're preparing the taxes accordingly. So I decided I don't want to do taxes. I don't want to do taxes anymore. But I learned that I don't want to call it a trick, but I learned doing that with the taxes so that because I wanted more of my money up front because tomorrow is not promised. So I wanted my money to spend it however I wanted to. That's the real reason behind what it was I did. And talking to my tax preparer, you know, she guided me in what would be best for me.
And again, all of these conversations won't amount to anything unless you're prepared to take advantage of a mental shift in the way you look at money. But if you're not prepared, it's the same as exercising. If you're not prepared to exercise, then don't start exercising. You have to get mentally prepared to get out here. You're not prepared to diet. You have to get mentally prepared to do these things before you go do them. But if you're ready, then it takes just some minor shifts. And that's the other thing I talk about. When we talk about dieting, when we talk about exercising, when we talk about shifting mentality, you don't have to make a major shift. You don't have to make a major change. Do small things a little bit at a time, and then when you get comfortable with that one thing, go to the next. For example, I am in the money space. I'm in the money space. But I
Explain
have had
it.
A tough time. So I operate, my business is in the financial arena. I talk about credit, so I talk about taxes, but my business every day, all day, we do credit, we do personal credit, we do business credit, we do taxes, and we do lending. So I'm in the financial arena. So I'm exposed to all of this financial information every day. I am 53 years old. It wasn't until last year, 2023, not even in January of 2023, it wasn't until June of 2023 that I finally got into a place where I could start to save money. My money mentality, Chelsea, yeah, does not allow me to save money. I'm just not good at saving money. I'm good at using credit.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how to use the credit to finance my life, but I am not great at saving money. So, but here's the thing. Apple, it came out the last 3 years, I guess. They came out with a new high yield savings account that's attached to your Apple credit card. So when you spend money on Apple, and it's giving you one of the highest yields. So the only thing that I've seen that gives you a higher yield, only bank account I've seen give you a higher yield now is QuickBooks. And QuickBooks is a new account because they are competing with Apple. So at one point, the Apple Card savings account was the highest yield bank account you could have. They were yielding 4.35%, which is unheard of in banking. I guess they've had that product for about 3 years. But they put me on
and I saw what amounted to a eureka. It was a eureka moment for me. So what happens is you use your Apple credit card, and they put 4.35% of whatever the balance is that you use into your savings account. Then I found out that you could actually fund the savings account as well and get 4.35. It's now at 4.50 yield. So, Chuck, what I'm saying is for every dollar that I spend on that Apple card, they're giving me 0.45, right? They're giving me 4.5 cents.
Right.
Now, let's call it a nickel. Let's round it up a little bit, right? So every dollar I spend, I'm getting a nickel deposited into this bank account. Now, I'm already spending money on this card.
Right.
They're giving me a nickel back. They're giving me a nickel back. But then I said, wait a minute. They're giving me money to spend, but they also will give me a nickel for every dollar I deposit in the savings account. So I said, we can get them two ways. Now, again, remember, Doc, I'm telling you, I have for 52 years, or 53 because I turned, for 53 years, I have had a problem having a savings account. But I finally said, if I could just start to deposit little bits of money into this account and continue to use the card the way I use it, I can get double the impact. It was just a minor shift. But that minor shift, I got money out there
you
now that's working for me. I'm not working for it.
Wow.
So
a part of the savings, would you suggest doing a budget? Because a budget can, like, see, for me, I'm a visual person. So I like to see my money, and I like to see where it goes. And the other day I was talking to my niece on the phone, and I was frustrated. I was like, because my check register didn't balance. And she was like, you still do a check register? Yeah. I like to see my money. And I was like, the last time my money balanced in my account was January 13th. And I said, here we are. Now in last week, whatever day it was last week, I said a whole month later, and all of my transactions tied, but my balance at that moment wasn't tied. It was frustrating me. So for those who do a budget, do you suggest that? And for those who have accounts, how do you recommend that they reconcile their account? And if so, how often? And how would that help them with, one, saving, two, with their spending, and three, how they manage money overall?
The answer is you have to evaluate who you are as a person and how you view money. So if you are someone who, like you, likes to see things equal out, you have to see it. Are you doing a written check register, or are you doing a digital check register? You're using an app, or are you doing writing it out?
It's a written where you get your check register from the bank, and I'm writing the stuff in. Debit, credit, check account, check, if I wrote a check or whatever transaction I have, I'm putting it in there. And what I think happened is probably a typo. Well, not a typo, but a reposed number. That's what I'm thinking the difference is. So I have to go back and balance it.
So you are a person who likes to write things, and that works for you. And you are a person who likes to see that everything is accounted for, and that if what you wrote on paper doesn't match what you see in the bank,
you're going to work to fix it until it's fixed. That's your money mentality. I am a digital person. I like to use technology. So I use a digital check register. But, yes, I use that digital check register every single day, and that allows me to know what's in my bank account at all times. And what's in my digital check register, I have an app called, what is it called, Checkbook? A checkbook app on my phone, and every day I go in and make sure what's in my checkbook app matches what's in my bank account. But that's me. Some people are going to we just need to make sure that at the end of the month I have my bills equal. They may do a spreadsheet. And that spreadsheet might say, I make this amount every month, I make this amount, I spend this amount every month, and as long as what I make every month is more than what I spend, I'm fine. That's fine. Whatever you do.
Yeah, that's me.
Whatever you do.
I have.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
Whatever you do, comfortable for you, do it. But the only thing I would tell you about life is just making sure your money is where it is not enough. Making sure in the black community, and I'm talking to the black community because we do not have the same amount of assets. In the black community, our average net worth in the black community, that means your assets minus your liabilities. The average net worth in the black community is $27,000. The next closest group, $27,000. The next closest group are Latinos. They're $76,000. That's the next closest group. Then the next group are whites. Whites are at $250,000, and Asians are the top at $340,000 in this country. I'm gonna talk to you guys. Let me look at white versus black. Average net worth of all African Americans, $27,000. That's less than a new Toyota Camry. Average net worth for the white community, $250,000. So 10 times, they are 10 times our net worth. That's because they don't just account for their money. They don't just look at where their money is. They invest time and money into their money making money. So like I said, it's good that it's really great check register. Is even better is if you have a check register and that check register is connected to a banking account that's going to generate you 4% interest, 5% interest. And let me say this to you guys. Let me say this to you. For those of y'all living in cash, still living on cash, let me just say this to you guys. Let me make you understand inflation.
Every year, I'm listening.
Your cash is going to lose 4.5% of its worth. In other words,
and why is that?
Inflation. The average inflation is 4.5%. So that means if you start off 2024 with $100, by the end of 2024, that $100 is going to be worth $96 or $95.50. And that's because it's not because your dollar actually loses value. It's because the things that the dollars buy go up in cost. So what you can buy for $100 today, you're going to have to spend $105 on at the end of the year. Every year that happens. Your money is losing money by sitting in accounts that don't yield at least 4.5% interest. And the more money you can get into those accounts, the more money you can make. So at minimum, Chuck, what I'm telling you to do is not just account for your money, because when you do the check register, all you're saying is, in my bank account, I have $1,000. In this book that I'm writing in, it says I have $1,000 in that account. The question is,
right. What
is that $1,000 doing? So I just told you guys two ways to change your life. First things first, stop getting funds because you're spending money in interest on credit cards and getting money from your tax refunds and not using your tax refunds to pay off those credit cards. So that money is
consistently. So what you said, stop getting what? I'm sorry, stop getting what?
Stop getting a tax refund.
Okay.
Getting a tax refund.
But
and instead,
now when you say stop getting a tax refund, also mean pay enough taxes where you don't owe as well.
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to owe taxes.
Okay.
But you don't want to get a refund. And I'm not saying you don't want to. I'm simply saying a way to shift your mentality is stop thinking of that a refund is a good deal. Again, I want to remind you, tax refund is not a gift to you. It just means you spent your money during the year and said, thank you for spending your money. We owe you a little bit of it back. Instead, don't spend your money during the year on that. Spend your money buying down your credit cards so that it's not costing you so much money. The next thing I said was stop just putting your money in a bank account or putting it underneath your bed. Black people, y'all still putting your money in shoeboxes. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Time you put $100 in that shoebox. Y'all still doing it. People are still that brown paper
bag. It still
bag,
won't be that $700 when you take it out.
Listen, I got a friend right now. She lives by cash. She swears cash is the greatest thing ever. And I tell her, every time you get cash, hold it in your hand, every day it's losing 4.5%. Every single day it's losing 4.5%. So at the end of the year, you have $100, you're going to have $95.50. That's all you don't really have. You start this year, if you take $100, put it underneath your mattress, at the end of the year, that $100 is going to be worth $95.50. And if you leave it there, next year it's going to be less. Stop just putting your money in the bank and stop just putting your money up under your mattress. Take that money and put it into account. Like I said, Apple QuickBooks just came out with a new bank account. I think it's been in the last 7 months. It's yielding 5.14%. So I'm getting ready to move my money out of this Apple savings account to this QuickBooks. And the good news is the reason QuickBooks came out with this is because they are competing against Apple for banking. So you know what's happening, what's going to happen next? The next company is going to come out, like Chime or Varo or any number of these banks. And they're going to give you 5.5%. Somebody's going to come with 6. And I'm going to keep putting my money into those accounts while they keep going up in the amount of money that they're going to yield.
Wow.
So,
go ahead. For my credit, we won't have to discuss that one. Okay, I got some messages that came in. One message said, that's me. I'm Niece, with the smiley emojis. Then another young lady, she put, tell him to start a financial literacy group for young people between 20 and 37. Financial literacy is not taught in our communities. He can even start from 15 to 37. Then she sent in something in reference to CNBC.com talking about budgeting and having a moment. It said there's this thing now that the young people are doing, which is called loud savings. They are sharing their lifestyle changes and any loose change they have from breaking big bills they are saving that money. I've done that before, too. Whenever I broke a bill, whatever the change was from that bill, I'll just throw it in like a jar or something like that. Then they also put, a lot of people are not focused enough nowadays to do budgets or to reconcile their accounts. That is from being that is from them liking instant gratification, and they live for today. Those things to them are old school thinking. That's a true statement. Then they put whites, they also live off their credit cards and pay the bulk of their debt off at the end of the month. And then another young lady put, it's hard to break a habit that the government put on us. When we put our money in the bank and then president put his brother in charge of the black bank and his brother robbed us. And then I had someone there hollering, talking about, you know, putting the money in the mattress. And they said they got to start using cash. A few messages that came in.
All right, so I'm going to address some of those things. Some of those things were just statements, and I'll just say on those ones that were just statements, facts, big facts. But
okay.
I will talk to you. I'll talk to you about starting a financial literacy for young people. If you go on Amazon right now, there's a young man named Kevin M. Lewis who wrote a book called Historically Black Guide to Wealth, an orange cover. That Kevin M. Lewis is the same Kevin M. Lewis you're talking to right now. That book was written for the young, that age group that you're talking about. You can get it on BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and you can get it directly from my distributor if you so choose. But let me, I didn't come here to sell books. Historically Black Guide to Wealth, just Google it on Amazon. Kevin M. Lewis is the author. All right. So I did that.
And
by the way,
excellent, easy read.
It's a very
and it's
small
understandable
book, and
as well.
I wrote
somebody,
it.
Somebody, a message came in and says, I got it. It's in my bedroom right now. Okay. Did you do the work in it? It's not just having the book. Did you do the work that the book suggested? Because if you did the work or you're doing the work, it will work for you. Ask me how I know, because I, too, have the book, and I am also a client. But proceed.
And by the way, the book speaks to that person that said they're throwing their money in a jar. The book talks, that's where the book's for who do that, showing you how to not just throw the money in the jar, but how to use it deliberately so that you're taking advantage of some of the things I'm doing. So, again, there's plenty of books out there that you can get, but I did write the book for that age group that you're talking about, this 27 to, I wrote it for 27 to 45 just to get people on track. And I do classes. I live in Philadelphia now. So I do classes in and around the city of Philadelphia for the youth, because you're 100% correct. It is, if we don't start the mentality early, then you get into habits, and it's difficult to break habits, but it's possible. As far as the loud savings, that's exactly what I'm talking about. This new generation of people are saying, let's come together and do something different than our parents did. So what our generation does, Chocolate, now that our parents didn't do is we talk to our children about money. That was not a thing for my mother. My mother, my grandparents,
right.
My grandparents, you don't talk about your money. You don't talk about your paycheck. You don't talk about your expenses. You don't talk. I didn't know that we were broke. Broke is a mentality, so let me say that. I didn't know that we were in between blessings until I got to Virginia State University, and I met some kids from D.C. who came to Virginia State University with cause, act legends, and I'm thinking, how did y'all get that? Because their parents had money. I didn't realize we didn't have money, y'all, until I got around people, because everybody in my neighborhood
who had a little bit of money.
Oh, in fact, in my neighborhood, me and my mother, we were the people. Everybody looked at us like, yo, y'all doing it. We just had the best thing in the project. And I saw real money. And I said, oh, we didn't have real money when I was growing up. That said, but
I didn't know because my mother did not talk to me about money. She didn't talk to me about credit. Now, I love my mother. Everybody who knows me knows I adore my mother. So to her credit, she's done an amazing job raising me as an individual, and I really appreciate it. The thing is, what's happening different today than the past is parents are having these candid conversations with their children and saying, don't make the same mistakes that I made, and let's start on that path early.
Right.
Now, I want to speak to someone said something about white people using credit, and that's a great segue. Can I keep talking, Chalk, or did you want me to stop and take
a
breath?
Yes, you can. But wait, hold that thought because I have some questions and statements that came in. One, it was so talk that ish. Get his calendar so we can post it. So I'm going to need your calendar.
Okay.
We're going to get the information because I was told we're going to sell out your book by this weekend. So however many books you have on hand right now, I need to know so we can sell those books out tonight. A couple of other messages came in. They put facts. How much does he have under management? I'm not exactly sure what does that mean. So if you can explain, lady. And then he put, and that was to the detriment of our people. And another message came, it's called Hood Rich. And they had good credit, meaning our parents. Yeah, they had good credit because they had no credit. So part of that good credit was no credit.
Calendar, we can absolutely take care of. Someone made a statement, facts again. The question that was asked, how much money do I have over management? I'm not a financial advisor. So, by the way, let me stop here and say this. This conversation does not constitute financial advice because I am not a financial advisor. That's not the services I provide. I'm not a financial advisor. If the question that was meant to be asked, if you meant to ask that question, so I have no money under management. If the question that you asked was personal and what is my net worth? The answer to your question is $1.2 million. Saying it proudly, not because I'm bragging. Saying it proudly because I learned to understand that poor people talk in income, wealthy people talk in net worth. And wealthy people spend the bulk of their lives building their net worth, stopped having income. People used to ask me, how much do I make? That's my income. That's poor people talk. Now, this is not shaming. I'm not pocket shaming people. But when you say, what's your income? That's because you haven't learned to have wealth conversations. Wealth is not measured in income. Because income is tied to the work that you do. Wealth is measured in net worth, and that is tied to the work that the money does for you. So what my money has done for me, I'm just shy of $1.2 million in net worth. When you account all the assets minus all the liabilities, my net worth is $1.2 million. Spread across real estate, stock, life insurance policy.
Okay, wasn't talking about net worth. So, young lady, if you would like to come on and explain directly the question that you are asking or the statement that you're trying to make, let me know that you want to come on, and I can put you on live, and you can tell him directly what it is that you mean. Mean what it is that you actually mean. Someone said, only change make noise. I like that. That is so true because dollars don't make noise.
Hey, quiet money. So Chalk, to the question that how much I have under management, usually the people that are having these conversations that I'm having are financial advisors, and they are typically judged by how much money or assets they have under management. But I'm not a financial advisor. I'm in the credit space. So I don't do financial advising. I just have conversations about money because I spend when you're in the credit space, the way that I'm in the credit space, you spend a lot of time with people who talk about money. So people who talk about stock investing, people who talk about real estate investing, people who talk about Bitcoin investing, people who talk about credit card investing. I can talk to you about credit card investing, but if you're asking me how much my company has under financial management, we're not financial advisors, so we don't have any management.
Another message came and says, black people need life insurance too. Other minorities make wealth from life insurance policies they have on their family members. It's all relative, stocks, bonds, credits, trust. She said thank you.
Perfect.
So how can you make a life insurance policy work for you?
Great question. You can do it one of two ways. So I'll talk to you about what most people sell in our neighborhood, and that's term life insurance. The term life insurance just means that you're going to pay an amount of money every month, and the term is going to last for however long you have the term for, 15, 30, 50 years. At the end of that term, if you are still alive, all that money that you paid, gone. If you pass away, theoretically, pass away before the end of that term, then that money goes to your beneficiaries. That is one of the greatest ways to pass on wealth. Hey, everybody on this call, I hate to be morbid. I hate to talk doom and gloom. Every one of us is going to pass from this plane onto another.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a life insurance policy, that is a great way to pass wealth on to your beneficiaries, your children or whatever. However, there are ways that you can benefit from that policy now. So if you get a term life insurance policy, my suggestion is you put a number in your mind every month of what you want to pay for a life insurance policy. Let's say that number is $250 a month. Mm-hmm. Take half of that, get a term life insurance policy, and the other half commit to investing in something that is going to yield interest. Again, interest-bearing savings account, CDs, stocks, bonds, real estate, what have you. But you've got to commit that other part of that money to investing in something that yields interest. There's another way to do that through life insurance, and that's called a whole life or index universal life. Again, I'm not a life insurance agent, so if you need to know more specifics about that, I would tell you to go to a life insurance agent. But what I do know is I have a whole life insurance policy. That's part of my assets. And that whole life insurance policy, what it does is you pay more money, typically a lot more money, for this insurance policy.
Yes.
But part of that insurance policy is a savings account that generates interest. Mm-hmm. And typically, like mine is yielding 8.25% interest compounded daily.
And you also can borrow against a whole life as well.
And the great news about borrowing from the whole life policy is, let's say you stacked up $10,000 in the life insurance policy. So now you're making 8.25% on that $10,000, right? You can borrow the $10,000, but you're still generating interest on that $10,000 as if you never took it out. So you're still collecting the interest, that 8.25% interest, on that $10,000, not on the amount that you took out. So that is a great way. It has a death benefit, so if I pass on my children, I actually have a policy on both my daughters and myself. So if I pass on, my children will benefit from the death benefit plus the cash benefit, and if I need to, I can take a loan out on the cash
right.
value and generates interest. Again,
okay,
not
someone
insurance.
Asked the question, will your whole life pay out to a trust or to your beneficiary? And
absolutely.
A message came and said it's non-taxable. It don't reduce the face value of the policy either.
Oh, that is a correct statement. Again, I am not in the insurance business, so you're going to want to talk to someone who specializes in these policies.
Personal.
That I've done.
Gotcha.
And so, but the person is correct. The non-taxable event, number one. Number two, your money still generates money. Again, wealthy people talk in wealth-generating assets. They put their money out to work for them. Now, let me tell you another way that you can make your money work for you. I'm in the credit space. So this space, I am qualified and certified to give you advice. I'm going to talk – somebody brought this up, and I meant to go to this. So someone said that white
okay.
people use credit. So I want to talk specifically about how to get money out of that. Now I'm going to back y'all up a little bit because I just want to make sure I pinpoint all of the things that we've said so far. Number one,
okay.
make sure that you change your taxes so that the money you get the money during the year, not at the end of the year. And make sure you're using that money to pay down the high interest credit cards that you have, number one. Number two, put your money in a high yield account. Don't just put it under your mattress or in a paper bag or in a shoebox or in a bank. Put it into a high interest yield account. Number three, look into insurance policies. Either get a term life, but put in your mind, if term life, you have to manage your own investment. So put in your mind a number. I'm going to spend $250 a month, $125 on the life insurance policy, $125 I'm going to commit to investing in something. And that's when you look for a CD. You might put it in that high interest bearing account or CD, money market, stock, bond, real estate, whatever, Bitcoin, whatever works. Okay, those are three. Now, let me show you how to use credit I'm going to show you how to use credit as money. So, everybody who's using a debit card right now, the debit card, and I've said this on previous episodes, the debit card was the worst financial instrument ever created since we were taken, or the worst thing that happened to the financial industry since we were taken off the gold standard. And if you don't know what that means, go research when we were taken off the gold standard, because that's a whole topic. But I'm not going to get into that. The debit card
okay.
was the worst thing created. The reason, Chocolate, the debit card is the worst thing. Chuck, do me a favor, because I like to talk to the people. Give me some names of the people who were making comments. Give me names. Throw some names out there. I'm calling names. Yeah, give me names. You got names or you just have phone
numbers? Okay. I have, because they're in my text message, people, I'm going to share your names. Is that okay with you? Please respond yes. Because I usually just say young lady or gentleman just for
the
privacy of the people who are on.
Guys, the only reason I'm asking names is because I just want to use your name for emphasis. I just like to get engaged with the audience. So I just want to
okay.
use your name for emphasis.
Well,
I'm not shaming you.
We have Rachel. We have
okay,
Rachel
stay right
from
there.
Virtuous E.
Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rachel, I'm going to tell you why I said the debit card is the worst financial instrument to ever happen since, or the financial issue since we were taking off the gold standard. So a debit card comes with two issues. Number one. Debit card is attached to your checking account. If somebody gets your debit card number and they use your debit card, let's say you have $5,000 in the bank, they use your debit card and they use all $5,000 to buy whatever, right? They go on Amazon, they spend $5,000, get things shipped to China, right? The bank is going to shut
access to your account now. Now, if your account is attached to your direct deposit, or like my account is attached to, my bank account is attached to my business, so people pay me, goes into that bank account. They're going to shut your account down. It could take you up to 21 days before they give you access to that account again, and it's very possible you may not get that money back. It could take you months. They're going to do an investigation. They're going to shut access to that account down, and you're going to have to work your life around that. So that's one of the issues with a debit card. The other issue with a debit card is debit cards don't come with points. They don't come with rewards points. Now, let me tell you what credit cards do. Credit card was the greatest thing ever invented if you can use your credit card as if it were a debit card, and I'm going to teach you how to do that right now. So let's say you have a credit card that has a $5,000 balance. Someone steals that credit card. I'm going to give you the same scenario using a credit card. You get a credit card. It has a $5,000 balance. It's a $5,000 limit. You have not used anything. Somebody steals the credit card number, Amazon. They spend all $5,000. Most, if not all, credit cards are going to still give you access minus, it's usually $50, maybe $100, but usually it's around $50. You will still have access to $4,950 while they're doing the investigation. If at the end of the investigation they find that you weren't responsible for those charges, they'll even give you that $50 back. So in essence, someone stole the $5,000, you are only responsible for $50 of that $5,000, and they'll give you access to your $4,950 until they do the investigation. Now, if they find in the investigation that it was actually you or you gave some access, then, of course, you'll be responsible for all of the money that you used, that they used. But if they find no fault, they can prove no fault, then you will not have lost access to your money. In addition, though, and probably for me more important, is, Rachel, most, if not every credit card that you get comes with rewards points, meaning every dollar you spend, you can get cash back or merchandise or hotels or flights or rental cars or any number of things that the rewards come with, right? So now let me tell you how to use your credit card as if it were a debit card. Put everything that you buy, credit card, the next day, pay it off with your checking account. Now, here's the deal. You have to have the money that you're going to spend in your checking account. So I'll give you an example.
That's key.
Give an example.
That's key.
That's key. So in my checking account, let's say in my checking account I have $250 and I'm going to the grocery store. Now, most of y'all go grocery shopping with a debit card or cash. Most of you are going with a debit card. I know that. I can see you. I see you out there. I know we on the phone, but I see you. I know y'all. I know my people. I see you. Dog, I see you. I see you doing it. I see Rachel doing it. I see all y'all out here. I see Steve out there. There's no Steve on the phone, but if Steve was on the phone, he's doing it too. All of y'all go to the grocery store and you use debit card instead of using your debit card.
In my defense, I don't, because I hate using my debit card. What I rather do is use my credit card so that if anything was to happen, like the scenario you gave, if anything was to happen, I still have access to my cash that's in my checking account. So I'm one of those people who, if I know 2 days from now I'm going to spend $1,000 on something, I'm going to take that $1,000 and put that $1,000 on my credit card so that I'll have that $1,000 available, and then I'm going to make the purchase on my credit card.
But
so
you have to pay the bill the next day. Chuck, why do you have to pay the bill the next day?
So that, one, you're not incurring any expenses, and two, it's also building your credit. Now, some other people names that you want to drop, you can use Sharon, Stacy, Dina, Iris, those some other people that are on there. So I'm just giving you other names if you want to, you know, use other names.
Dina,
someone,
I'm talking to you.
Someone put, I use my credit card because I get points. That, too, that's a way of saving, you know, you're getting your money back because you get points.
Dina, you have to pay the bill the next day. The reason you have to pay the bill the next day.
Why is it specifically the next day and maybe not 2 days later?
Of your credit cards, the interest daily. You've got to pay that bill the next day so you don't incur any interest. That interest is 12 cents. You're still paying 12 cents more than you need to pay. So you go, I would encourage, I would even say pay it that day, but certainly the next day. That $250 worth of groceries on your credit card, it's protected, number one. Number two, you're protecting your cash. Three, you're collecting points. But the next day, go and pay that entire bill. Don't pay part of it because that's what's happening. Dina, this is not you. So I'm not talking to you, Dina. Iris, I'm not talking to you either. There's not none of y'all on this phone call do this. But don't go spend $250 and then the next day you pay $125. No. If you spend $250, you've got to pay $250 the next day. Now, you got $250 worth of rewards points or whatever that equates to. In essence, you got free points because the next day you're not going to pay any interest. You got the groceries, and you got the points. Now, ladies and gentlemen, African-Americans, black people, I'm talking to you guys. Please, we have got to stop this here. We have to stop looking at money as the goal. Money is a tool. The reason you get money is not to have money. The reason you get money is so you can have freedom. Use those points. Stop collecting them points. Let me think about it. You said Stacy's on the phone? Stacy, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, Stacy's on the phone.
Stacy, you sitting with a cup. Yeah, Stacy, you on the phone. I hear you. I hear you in the background. Stacy, you on the phone. You got 293,000 points on your Marriott Bonvoy card. You won't use them because you just like to see the numbers go up. But, Stacy, use them points and go take a vacation at that Marriott. And stop playing with me, man. Stop playing, Stacy. You play too much. You can't play all your life. Use those points. Here's the thing about wealthy people, Chuck. Wealthy people take at least 3 vacations a year. That's how they maintain their mental health, their physical health, their financial health. Those things are all 3 linked. If you don't have good mental, physical, and financial health, you won't have an enjoyable life. So, Stacy, get up off them 293,000 or give them to me. I'll show you what to do with them.
Well, actually, Stacy just said, bring me on. She's taking a thing for Victor because she's like, pick me now. Okay, Stacy, I'm about to bring you on with Kevin. Hello,
hi,
Stacy.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Stacy. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, let me just say, you are so on point with everything that you are saying. And listen, I am a person who has started her own business, and it has taken me 4 years to get my business plan to where I kind of, and I'm just saying kind of, want it to be, and it is constantly changing. And so what you are saying is so very true, because I did, and I still do, Credit Secrets. And so that is one of the things that helped me to develop exactly what you are talking about. Now, I did have a downfall, because I had to have full knee replacement surgery this summer. So I had to basically live off of my credit cards, like you're saying, but my income was not flowing the way I needed it to flow. So now I'm fighting exactly what you are saying to make sure that I can get those credit cards, because I have extensive credit. One of my cards is 4,000. Another one of my cards is 2,000. Like you said, it is about being able to have that substantial credit, but when you cannot bring it back into your income to debt ratio to be able to flex, like you said, you 1.2, yes, that's sweet. And I understand you saying exactly, I'm a vacationer, so I'm fighting to get to that point where I can use these points because I have Capital One and I have three of their cards and they pay you back on all of those cards when you use them. So I get you. You are speaking nothing but the truth. You are laying down the law. And as you were speaking, when you started, the first thing I said is because it's attached to your money on your debit card, so it's better to use your credit and pay them off at the end. But I didn't know that day to day. That's smart, and thank you for that. I said at the end of the month, because once you use them for the month, make sure you pay that whole balance off at the end of the month and to be able to build it, your core score. But I didn't know, I didn't think about that daily compounded interest. Thank you for that information. But everything you were saying, Axe Chocolate, everything that you were saying, I was typing, it builds, improves your credit score this way. Yep, Capital One is one of the best. I was just going, yep, yep, yep. So thank you for solidifying, for confirmation.
You're
thank you. Have a blessed
welcome,
one.
And thank you for coming on.
Well, thank
I
you,
appreciate
Stacey.
It.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put you back on hold. I have another caller that wants to come on. Let me look for the telephone number. Okay, here we go. Rachel, I'm about to bring you on. Okay, there you go. Rachel?
Hi, Cass. Hi, LSO. How are you guys?
Hello, baby. How are you?
I knew you knew some of my statements from answering those questions. I really have a question. I read the book. So with that being said, can I help Stacey out a little bit? Because it's in your book. Get the book, Stacey. So the business credit, right? You said that you had a financial downfall because of a medical condition, right? If you had the business credit going on, right, and you're going to pay your bills, they penalize you less for having business credit versus personal credit. So that's just a little gem from Kev's book. I'm not trying to tell all your secrets, Kev, but it works. So something that you would pay on your business side, if it's at the end of the month, if you have personal credit and you paid at the end of the month and 2 weeks into the next month, they don't penalize you the same way they penalize you when you have personal credit. So if y'all get the book, y'all see exactly what I'm saying. Kev talks about that in his book. Then the other thing
talk
is,
nice, right?
Listen,
nice.
I'm trying to tell the people what they need to do.
Okay, just talk to these people on these streets. I'll come here to play with you folks.
I'm telling you, like, we got to help each other. Like, I knew a lot because, like, LSO, I have an accounting background, but I've learned more dealing with you, reading your book, listening to you on different podcasts. So I appreciate the knowledge that you've given, because as an accountant, we kind of get stuck in our little ways of doing things. But as time is evolving, business is evolving, inflation is evolving, you have to move with that. And Stacey, another thing, too, about your business plan, if you have a business, your business plan should always be evolving. That's just something that happens. You set out with one goal. And as time goes on and the business start making money, or maybe the business isn't making money because of health issue or the sales aren't there, you can expect that and you have to adjust with it. But always have that initial goal. This is what I have planned for my business. This is what it looks like on paper. Now let me go ahead and execute it. And if you need help on the financial side, I'm telling you, Kevin, he will get you right. He will get you right.
I'm gonna do. That's my people right there. Y'all hear me? Right? That's my people. I appreciate it, Rick. Let me. And I'm gonna piggyback on something that you said, Rick, because you're on game.
I'm gonna put you back on hold.
Race is on game, Stacey. I'm gonna give you one more. I'm gonna emphasize a point that Rachel made already. I again, get the book or don't get the book. I'm just telling you, I've lived through these things. I know my people. I have a heart for the black community. So I put together a small book. It's, you're going to overlook it because it's so small. People think, you know what, a book, how can a book have substance with only, it's got 89 pages. The answer is because I know how my people work. You guys are not going to read a book that has a bunch of financial jargon in it. You're not going to read a book that has nothing to do with who you are as a person. So I said, you know what, let me give it to them. Let me give them this more, but they're impactful. That said, though, Rachel said to you, Stacey, stay with you. She said, get business credit. I'm trying to move everyone off of personal credit because she's 100% correct. In personal credit, one of the things that will hurt you is credit utilization. If you've got a $1,000 limit on a card, you use 900 of it, that means your credit utilization is 90%, your score is going to drop. Pay it down, your score will go back up. On business credit, that does not exist. There is no credit utilization piece. So you could have a $10,000 business credit card. You could use all $10,000 of it. It will not hurt your business credit score in the least. Because the only thing that impacts your business credit score is how well you pay the bill. That's it. Not time, not utilization. So move your credit into business credit, and that's what we actually specialize in. My company actually specializes in helping small African-American businesses build a business credit profile that makes them more likely to get credit. So move into business credit, and then when you get to those times, and your business is going to get to those times when you've got to leverage credit, you're not impacted the same way that you are on the personal side.
That's such a true statement. I'm talking about me personally because I actually use Kevin's services now. When I came on, we were just talking, we were just kicking it. Yes, right, I said kicking it. We were just talking in reference to, you know, what it is he does and how he is and how it is what he does. So I was like, I said, Kev, this is what I want to do, and I don't want to do no work in getting it done. His thing was more or less say less. I'm like, what do you need from me? How much do I need to pay? And I need you to work for me and do whatever it is I need to go. I want to go from point A to point Z. I want to skip over B, C, B and C. So how do I get there? That's just me. But I did want to know, I need you to explain to me how to get from point A to D. Now, I got from point A to D, but B and C, you have to go in a process. So you have to go through B and you have to go through C. But by the time you get to telling me, I won't already be at D. And then I need you to explain to me what happened and how it happened. And now, how do I jump to the next couple of letters down the line? So when I say his services work because I put in the work for the services to work for me. Now, you just can't get his services and expect it to happen overnight. Now, it can happen overnight, but I had to do my part in it too, and my part was a major part, and he just guided me across the way in doing so. And I initially went on for business credit because I wanted – business credit. I want to know how to get business credit, what to do, how to do. And then I was like, well, while you're there, work on my personal credit just the same. Now, I was also told about getting business credit, let's just say a random day, let's say a Saturday. You call, let's just say, Bank A, and you call and ask them for a line of credit. Then you call Bank B, do the same thing, and Bank C, do the same thing. Now, you've called three people in reference to getting credit.
Now, all three may give you the credit, or maybe two may give you the credit, or one may give you the credit. Now, it's not going to impact you because you called all three of the institutions right behind each other. So it doesn't have time yet to hit your account, a query hitting your account. So now what if all three give you the line of credit? So now before it even hits your account, the line of credit that you've asked for credit, you already got the credit. How does that work?
So you're talking about personal credit. That doesn't exist.
Personal
credit. You don't have to worry
credit.
About it. Those two things, that does not exist in the business credit world. It's not even a factor. So let's talk personal credit. So what you're saying is you want to get three credit cards. The problem is if you apply for a credit card today and you wait 30 days and apply for another credit card, the second credit card is going to see that you applied for that first credit card, and they may deny you because they're worried about you trying to get too much credit in a short period of time. So what you want to do to overcome that is apply for all three of those cards on the same day. That way, neither one of them sees the other. It's called an inquiry. Neither one of those sees the inquiry for the other card. They give you the credit, and then all three of those things are going to show up on your personal credit. But inquiries do not exist in business credit. The only factor, so there are five factors that go into your personal credit: your payment history, your credit utilization, that means how much you use compared to the limit, your credit age, the average amount of time that you had your credit, the inquiries, and the credit mix, the different types of credit that you have. All five of those factors, if you're negative in any one of them, your score will be impacted negatively. In business credit, there's only one of those factors counts towards calculating your business credit score, and that is going to be your payment history, how well you paid. So you can apply for a business credit card today, apply for another business credit card 2 months from now. It won't matter because the business credit bureaus don't look at – there's no such thing as inquiries. They don't care. You can apply for 1,000 cards. They don't care. All they care about is first card that you got, paid the bill on time. They don't even care that you maxed the card out. You got to – I'm not going to name names because I don't get paid endorsements for these cards. But you guys know the big ones. The one starts with an A. So let's say you get the card that starts with an A, ends with an X, and you get a business one, not a personal one, but a business one. It's a $25,000 limit. You could use all $25,000 and go apply for a company that begins two words, starts with a C, the next one starts with an O. They have a business credit card. You could apply for them, and they don't care that you use all $25,000 of your A dot dot X card because that doesn't count towards business credit. All they care about is that you paid the bill when it came, you paid it on time, and they do care about the limits because the higher your limits, the more they're willing to give you. So, Charles, you don't have to worry about that on the business side. That's why I'm trying to teach people to get off personal credit and live through your business. By the way, I've said this before, every financial law in this country was written so that businesses could take advantage and consumers would be taken advantage of. Every financial law, every tax law, every credit law, every banking law, every law that has to do with finances was written so that businesses could take advantage, consumers would be taken advantage of. That's why as a business you get bigger tax advantages. That's why you get better banking, benefits out of your business account. That's why you get better credit from business because all the laws are written so that businesses could take advantage.
Messages says, say the five, They asked for you to say the five again,
Lois.
And they said facts, sir. And when they asked you for the
like
facts, I mean the five, I guess the five business for business credit.
There aren't five in business credit, but I'll give you the five personal again. I'm going to say this slow. I'm going to say it slow for the people out there. There are five factors on the personal side. The first one is payment history, how well you pay your bills. Let me think about do I want to do. I'll give you the five, and then I'll talk to you about five real quick. No, you know, I don't want to talk. You know, I don't really want to spend a lot of time on personal because y'all stop worrying about people. Please start living through your businesses. Everyone needs
okay,
to be
well,
a business.
Okay, well, can you
everybody,
can you have
yeah,
can you get business
can
credit and not have a business?
What?
Kev?
That said, let me.
Can you give business credit and not have a business?
Oh, no, you cannot.
Okay,
no,
I'm just saying because
okay.
Some people, or maybe they can start a business, and if the business is not successful, they can still have the business credit.
You need to. Your business needs to make money, so don't just register a business just so you get business credit. You have to have your business has to be generating revenue. But let me. I'm gonna go to the five factors in a minute because I want to address that point. Everyone who is an employee, go to your employer. Now, this will work for some, may not work for others. But go to your employer. Start a business. Start an LLC. Go to your employer and say, instead of a W-2 employee, I would like to be a contractor. See what the employer says. Now, if they tell you no, more often than not, the reason they're telling you no is not because they don't want you to be an independent contractor. It's because no one's ever asked that question before, and they don't know how to administer the same work. But many companies would be willing to have you as an independent contractor because then they don't have to pay you health benefits, and they don't have to pay your taxes. Now, of course, I'm not telling y'all, if you need health benefits, don't try to come out here and do this entrepreneurship thing. If you need health benefits, if
right.
you need someone to pay your taxes, then stay where you are. But for those of you who want to learn how to live through a business, you can still do the same work for your employer, but do it through your business. And most businesses will be willing to let you do that because it costs them a lot less money. Because, again, they don't have to pay health benefits. If you work 40 hours, most businesses have to pay health benefits at minimum. So that's how you can live through your business. Change how you work. You work for the same company, do a contract, and you can do a long-term contract. Whatever you do, let's say you're in healthcare. Let's say you are a doctor working for a hospital and you're on salary. And you get paid $230,000 a year. I know somebody on here, one of you rich doctors is on here. So you're getting paid $230,000. You're getting paid $230,000 a year through the hospital. But you're working at Montefiore. You're up there. You're a big-time doctor. You're getting a nice salary. You're driving that nice Benz truck. But here's the deal. Go to Montefiore and say, look, instead of getting paid, I started an LLC. Instead of getting paid through my social, I want to get paid through my EIN, and I'm willing to do a 25-year contract that says I'm going to do the same. I'll give you the same work. I'll work this amount of hours. I'll do this many years. I just want to get paid that same $230,000. I want to get paid through my business. Now you can build business credit because you're generating revenue from Montefiore. Montefiore wins because, again, they don't have to pay your medical benefits. You're going to pay them on your own. And if you want to compensate yourself for those medical benefits, you can give yourself a higher salary. I'm getting paid $230 now, but you guys are paying, let's say $50 of that you guys are paying for insurance.
instead of that, give me 255. Give me 275. So increase my money 40,000, and you guys can keep the other 10, and I'll do the same work. That's a conversation that you've got to. That's a much longer conversation. I'm just telling you, you have to be generating revenue, and I'm telling you how an employee can go from being an employee to being a business, being able to take advantage of these benefits, still doing the same work for the same company through your business. Now, let me go back and answer the question that was asked. So the five factors that go into personal credit are payment history. That's how well you pay your bills. If you miss a payment on credit card, car loan, mortgage, anything, your score can go down 60, 70 points. It will take you at minimum 24 months, 2 years, of paying that same bill on time to get those 60 points back, just how payment history works.
Wow.
All right? That's factor number one, the most important factor, most high impact. The next high impact, credit utilization. If you have, again, a credit card that has a $1,000 limit, you spend $750 on that card, your credit utilization is going to be 75%, and only when you pay the bill down will you get the points back. So your score will go down. When you pay the bill back, your score will go back up. The third factor is credit age. That's the average amount of time that you have all of your credit accounts. And let me tell you how credit age works and why it's such a dangerous thing for your credit. Let's say you only had one credit card on your credit report, but you've had it for 10 years. You're going to have – that's the only account you had on your credit report. You're going to have a 10-year history, so your credit age is going to be 10 years. If you get another credit card, they're going to take the zero-year history on the new credit card, the 10-year history on the old credit card, divide them by the number of accounts that you have, which is now two. So they're going to – your credit age is going to go from 10 years to 5 years just because you got that new credit card. And your credit age needs to be 7 years or more for it to be good, which means you now have to wait 2 years to get back good. You're going to lose points when you get that new card because your credit age went from 10 years to 5. And now you got to wait 2 years to get those points back. You may only lose 15 points, but you're going to have to wait 2 years to get those 15 points back. Okay? That's the third most impactful factor. The fourth is inquiries. That's what you guys are talking about. Every time someone pulls your credit, you're going to get an inquiry on your credit report. And you shouldn't have more than three inquiries per bureau. Now, here's the deal. Anyone on this call who's ever gone to a car dealership and tried to get a loan for a car through the car dealership will know. You'll see 7, 8, 9 different inquiries on your credit report. That's because the auto dealership are shopping your credit through 9 different banks to see which one is going to approve you. You're supposed to have 3 per bureau. You go to a car dealership to buy one car, you could end up with 9 different car loans. I have a client right now that has P2 inquiries on their credit report from the same day because the car dealership shopped her deal through 22 different
information
banks.
Around.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
So that's no
question. Because a question came in. A statement came in. It says, get your mama to put you on as an additional if her credit is good. How does that work if you're on your parent or a relative as a credit card? You have your own credit card, but it's under their account. Does that work as far as with you having credit card usage? Or it's still the
very
same
dangerous.
Thing.
Let me say this fifth factor, and then I'm going to talk about that. I promise I'm going to answer that question, but I'm going to talk about that. Let me say this fifth factor, because this fifth factor is usually where people get hit. So the fifth and final factor in personal credit is credit mix. That's the types of credit that you have, and there are three categories. Installment credit, it means you pay the same amount every month no matter what the interest rate is. So that's going to be a student loan, mortgage, car loan, personal loan. Then there is revolving credit. You pay a different amount depending on what you spend and the interest rate. That's going to be a credit card. You guys all know that. And then there's open, which is sort of a hybrid. You guys know open as no preset limit cards. And, again, I'm not going to mention, but the most notable is the company that starts with an A. But that means you get a credit card and there's no limit. You can use whatever you want, and then you have to pay back a certain amount at a specified period of time. In the credit mix factor, so that's the fifth factor, you need to have two installment accounts always on your credit report. Two installment accounts, three revolving accounts, two open accounts. All right, so I'm going to go through the five factors real fast. First one, payment history. Second, credit utilization. Third, credit age. Fourth, inquiries. Fifth, credit mix. And that's in order of importance for impact. All right. Now, the question asked was authorized user. Let me take a pause for just a second. Wow, time flies when you have
fun. Okay. Yeah.
All right. All right, so here we go. Authorized user. Authorized user is a very dangerous thing unless you do it correctly, and there is a correct way to do it. I always suggest that if you are putting someone on your credit as an authorized user, do not give them the card or the account number. Good thing to do. This is a good thing to do if you're doing it for your children. So you have a card, you're going to put your children on the card as authorized users. Don't even tell them. Just put them on. Don't give them the account number. Don't give them a card. Because if you do and they use that card, that is your credit that they're damaging. Remember, your credit utilization goes up, your score goes down. So don't give them a card. Just put them on as an authorized user. So they're taking advantage of your credit, but they're not being able to manipulate your credit in any way. That is if you are the person putting someone on. If you are the person being put on, there are four things that must be in place, and all four of these things must be in place for you to choose this person. First, you want them to put you on a credit card that has the highest limit. So first of all, go on a credit card. It has to have the highest limit, the lowest balance. It has to be a card that they pay the bill religiously on, and it has to have the longest credit age. Talk with all four of Iris, did you hear me? You still on here. I know you didn't hang up yet. Iris, all four of those things have to be present before you choose to be added as an authorized user. So let's talk about how this works. So Iris is coming to me. She's saying, Kevin, I would like you to put me on your credit as an authorized user. The first thing I'm going to say to Iris is, you cannot have the credit card, nor can you have the account number. I'm just going to put you on as an authorized user. That way you can't use any of the credit. You're just getting the benefit of my credit. Iris should say to me, okay, Kevin, please, these four things have to be in place in order for me to become an authorized user on your credit. One, it has to be the credit that you have with the highest limit. Two, it has to have the lowest balance, and you have to pay it religiously. Three, or religiously is three. I want to put me on the card that you've had the longest amount of time so I could get take advantage of the credit age. Iris, all four of those things have to be present. And you know what you have to see in order for me, for you to know if all four of those things are present? You have to have me show you my credit report. You want to look at my credit report and say, okay, this card you've had for 15 years, it has a $25,000 limit. You keep the balance down below $2,500, and you've never missed a payment. In the 15 years that you've had this card, you've never missed a payment. Iris, if all four of those things are not three, not two, if all four of those things are not present, you do not want to be have me put you on that account. I'm a pause there.
Okay. Okay. Well, Kevin, as you know, time is flying through and we got to begin to close out. But can we have you next week too? Are you busy? Can you check your calendar? Can you put us back in? Because there's more. People want more. They have more they need to say, and they need more information from you. And you know how the closeout goes. We got to give them all your information because people are ready to talk to you right now when we get off the phone. Y'all might not get to talk to him right now because he has to go to bed. He has things to do once he get off the phone. But you can call him tomorrow at 9 o'clock. He's going to give you all the information. But, Kev, check your calendar now. Can we have you next week?
Chuck, you know you don't have to ask me that question. You know I'm locked in. You know I'm locked in. I'll show up same
Ladies
time, 8
and
p.m.
gentlemen, we got him again next week, which is, let me look at the date right now. So all the questions that we didn't get answered tonight, we're going to get you those answers. So it's very good that you send in the questions beforehand so we can start off with those questions so we know for sure we're getting your information done right off the bat. Right off the bat. So that's March 4th. At 8 o'clock, we're going to have Kevin on again. We're going to continue the conversation, so get your questions in. And I believe next month is Women History Month. It's the first day of Women's Month, Women History Month. So you know what? Ladies, he's going to talk specifically to us because sometimes our credit are a little bit better than a man's credit. But as we do it each and every Monday, y'all know we got to give congratulations and shout outs and all this good stuff. So we want to say happy birthday to Monet, Vic, Landon, Toya, Miss K, Raisha, Elliot, Faint, Chance, Sandra, Chocolate Thunder, Yolanda Lee, excuse me, Big Bonds, Baron, Tracy, Tariq, Denise, Anna, Danny, Eileen, Steve, Yoli, Jason, Deidre, Kelly, Aunt Jeanette, and Hector. Happy birthday to each and every one of you. And also, Jason, we pray your strength as you run in Tokyo in the marathon. I think it's next week. We pray your strength that you complete it and you make it back home safely to us. We want to say congratulations to everyone who's celebrating something and condolences to all who may have lost a loved one. Also, we have a WAP panel, which is an all-women panel. So if you would like to be a part of that panel, it'll just be women having conversation about whatever it is we choose to have conversations for. But, Kevin, before I continue, one more question. Someone said, how many open accounts?
Two.
So I guess we were talking about the revolving
two installments, three revolving, two open.
Okay, say it again because it was breaking.
Yeah, two installments, three revolving, two open.
There you go. I hope you got it. Okay, they got it. Okay, Kev, now is where we come in. We want to thank everyone who tuned in, but we're not finished yet because we're about to get some good information. This is the information we've been waiting for right here. Kev,
Kevin Maurice, take the floor. Give them all of your information, every bit of way of how they can contact you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Tell them the name of your book. Tell them where they can find the book.
Absolutely. The name is Kevin M. Lewis. The name of the company is Promisien, P-R-E-M-I-S-I-E-N. The name is Promisien. We are at Promisien on all social media platforms. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find us on Fanbase. You can find us on, YouTube. The name is Promisien, P-R-E-M-I-S-I-E-N. If you want to call, you can call us at 215-904-8690 from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. Please do not call me on Sunday. I need some time for rest. If you want to email us, you can email us at info@promisien.com. Again, that's P-R-E-M-I-S-I-E-N. If you want to find us on the web, we're at www.promisien.com. I know people don't use www anymore, but it's promisien.com, P-R-E-M-I-S-I-E-N. And the name of the book is Historically Black Guide to Wealth. It is orange. It has two people throwing money in the air on the cover. And it is on Amazon. You can get it on BarnesandNoble.com. And if you contact me, again, email, phone, web, if you contact us, the easiest way to contact us is on the web at www.promisien.com. Just fill out the contact form. And if you contact me there and you want a book, I'll give you the direct connection to the distributor. Works better for us. Either way you want, you can go whichever direction you want to. Before I finish that, though, I want to get on my soapbox for just, if you'll indulge me, for just 60 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, in the African-American community, I know I don't discriminate, but I want to encourage you guys. We are in perilous financial times. There's no savior coming for the African-American community. We've got to save ourselves. If you guys have been paying attention, Navy Federal Bank, it's the largest credit union in the nation, which holds a lot of our accounts, and a lot of our people on social media have been talking about building business credit and using Navy Federal as their credit provider. They have the biggest lawsuit, about to have the biggest lawsuit in the nation, because they've been discriminating in the mortgage lending space against black people. They're not the only bank. They're just the bank of the month. Please, I implore you, there are 23 FDIC-insured black-owned banks in the nation. That's not a lot. Please start depositing your money and doing business with these black banks. Let me just give you a terrible statistic. There are 72 Asian-owned banks in the country, total $170 billion in assets. There are 30 Latino-owned banks, Latin-owned banks in the country, $163 billion. There are 23 black-owned banks in the country, $5.5 billion. Now, I just want to put this in perspective for you guys. 23 black-owned banks, $5.5 billion in deposits. Jeff Bezos, who's the wealthiest man in the country, his net worth is $165 billion. All 23 of the black banks have 3% of Jeff Bezos' net worth. Please, y'all, stop fighting to put your money in banks that don't want us. Navy Federal has told us that they do not want to do business with us by discriminating against us. All 23 of these black banks want to do business with you. So please start moving your deposits, your loans, your businesses. Please start moving them to these black-owned banks, so we can prop up our own economy. I'm off my soapbox.
Okay. Well, again, let me rephrase the title of his book. The complete title is Historically Black Guide to Wealth: Financial Liberty for African Americans. That is the complete title. Now, yes, you can go to Amazon and purchase the book, but Amazon is going to take a lot of money. How about you go directly to him? The number that he gave you, call that number and say, LSO sent me, I need your book. And have him autograph the book and send it out to you. That way he getting 100% royalties of it. Two, he's personalizing it to you because he's talking to you. And three, you want to get all the information in there. Now, I had mentioned earlier that I am also one of his clients. He has services that he render, and I take full advantage of his services. Now, when I did it myself, started my business, I thought I had a business. Now, I had an EIN number, and I was paying taxes on it, but I didn't have a registered business. And Kevin was the one who caught that. And it was, like, amazing. At first, I was so hurt. I was devastated. I was like, how can this be? And then I took a step back, and I was like, thank you, Jesus, because I needed to revamp what it was. So now he found that. He did my business for me, did my registration for me, because I was like, Kev, that's too much for me. I can't do that. It's too much. He did that for me. He's doing my business credit, and he's worked on my personal credit. Now, I got all these services for him for a very low price. And no, because we went to school together, he cheated off of my paper, we did work together. No, I did not get a discount. I paid full price just like everybody else, but it's reasonable. And the same way I put in my budget that I do for everything else, for all my other bills and expenses, I include that as part of my living expense. Why? Because that's something I don't want to take care of, and I want to know that it's secure, it's safe, and my business is working for me, my credit is working for me, and I don't have to worry about that. Now, when you call him, Kev, give the number again,
215-904-8690. Again, 215-904-8690.
Okay.
Yep. If you go.
Go
to the web,
call
if you
him,
go to the web,
Promethean.com. Or tell him Chocolate sent you, and he'll know exactly what to do, and he's going to work with you. And what he's working with is you specifically. So what he's doing for me is not going to be the same thing he's doing for you, because we're two different clients and we have two different needs. No, the book is not The Color of Money. The book is called Historically Black Guide to Wealth, Financial Liberty for African Americans. And it says by Kevin M. Lewis. Okay, great. Thank you. So remember, LSO will be coming to you each and every Monday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune in and call in. Tune in where you can talk to the guests. You can talk to me, or you can interact on Facebook, or wherever you want to interact. But tune in by calling 646-478-5209. That's the number you called in tonight. If you're looking for a platform to promote your brand, call or message LSO at 718-666-1336 to find out how you become a sponsor of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. Tonight we had so much information from Kev, we didn't want any interruptions, so we played no music. But if you want your music played on Lawless Radio, go to lawlessradio.com and submit your music, and you can hear your music played on the show. Let's support one another. Actually, Kevin told me to stop saying that. Not support, because support is, you know, you just helping out. Let's patronize. When you patronize someone, that means you believe in their product, you believe in their business. So let's patronize one another. You can order LSO merchandise at Treats, the letter N, things, LSO.com. And you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSO Treats. In order to get an autographed copy, you have to come directly to me. For Kevin, yes, you can get his book on Amazon.com called Historically Black Guide to Wealth, Financial Liberty for African Americans, but we want to go directly to the source. So, Kev, they're going to flood you. Y'all can email him tonight because he won't see it until tomorrow, or someone, you know, in the office won't see it till tomorrow. Email him. Send him a text. I think that number, you can text on that number too. Am I correct, Kev?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Send him a text tonight. Hi, my name is Stacy. This is my address. I want to purchase your book. Please give me a call tomorrow. And you know what? Kevin is going to call you, not someone that worked in the office. Kevin himself is going to call you and say, Stacy, what's good? Talk to me. And then Stacy can say, well, Kev, blah, 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 blah. Stacy is in Delaware. Kevin's right there in Philly. Bam, that's only maybe less than an hour difference apart. Get your stuff in. We have Virtuous Eatery on the line. We have JJNR on the line. We have Lady I Treasures on the line. Sharon, I'm sorry, I forgot the name of your business, but we have Sharon on the line. We have Stacy and her business. All my entrepreneurs on the line, thank you so much, and I hope you got so much information from Kevin. And get your questions in, because you know what? Come next week, your questions can be answered first. It's always a pleasure spending our Monday evenings with you, and thank you for tuning in to the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show as we bring more transparency, awareness, taboo, education, and more conversations. And I hope you enjoyed the 5.5 years thus far on this journey. I hope tonight you were enlightened with a lot of information. I told you to come with pen and paper and highlighter and stickies. I told you. So I hope you got the information that you needed. And if you need additional information, that's okay. He said he'll be back next week, same time. We're going to do it all over again with a whole new set of questions. So I hope you enjoyed tonight with the topic, Living Financially Stable, Your Relationship to Credit. Some pieces of advice. Some debt is helpful. Be patient with yourself. You didn't get into debt overnight. You're not going to get out overnight. But there's tools and ways that you can get out of debt. Be mindful of when you use cash over credit or credit over cash. But be sure if you're using the credit over the cash, make sure you have the cash to cover the credit that you're going to use. And pay it the next day, not 20 days later. Remember, when you use your credit, the interest is compounded daily on it. And debt is not the end. It's not the end all. It's okay. We're all going through it. We're all going through debt. But you know what? You can get out of it. So now is the time to get out of it and make your money work for you. Begin living each day. Why? Because you only get to live every day. But ultimately, you get to die one time. So you know what? How about you live every day? That's what you need to do. If you haven't been doing it, it's time for you to start doing it now. Every day that we wake up, it's so precious to each and every one of us. So live in peace, P-E-A-C-E, and not a piece of, P-I-E-C-E. Why? Because you are worthy and know that you matter. Elevate yourself. Know that you are great. You are strong. You are needed. You are loved. LSO would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning into the show and hanging out for 2 hours with me and Kev. It was two siblings on the line talking chop. And you know what? Y'all got all of the information. Don't forget to pay it forward. Your candle light will not dull by lighting someone else's candle. So if somebody's candle need to be lit, light it from your stem. If somebody's crown need to be fixed, adjust it and keep on moving. That's what we do. If God's will, I'll talk to you next week. Stay prayed up. Be careful and be safe. My hashtag is my LSO journey, hashtag love yourself organically. Kev, what is your hashtag?
Hashtag is stay black, be up, and help one another.
Kev, what is the telephone number again? I was asked, repeat the number.
215-904-8690. If I don't answer or somebody in my office doesn't answer, please leave a voicemail.
Okay, and you can ask your question about the best black banks, but get all that information. Yours in Sweetness, LSO, Kev Maurice, a Promethean. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.